There has to be something particular or peculiar about this day and age, because Jesus said, if it was possible, even the very elect would be deceived. So this spirit of deception has to be so powerful for even the very elect to be deceived. And he said, there's going to come a day, this day and age is a time when there's a famine. Not a famine of bread and water, but a famine for hearing the word of God. Amen. So tonight, if you have a mind to hear God's word and have a mind to receive it, you are to thank God for that. So many that walked with Jesus for years are walking away from God now because they have lost their hope, they have lost their faith. Amen. Well, thank God tonight. So tonight, even though I know we're supposed to be finishing up Genesis chapter 21, I just felt led, because we didn't really get into this on Sunday, about the real battle. Amen. Once you get saved, there is a real battle. How many know that the battle is, if it wasn't there before, the battle is certainly going strong now. After you get saved, the devil is determined to get you back. Amen. And there's one scripture, just give me one moment, that I want to get for us to read before we get into this. So there's a battle, and the battle is raging. And guess what? The devil doesn't care about any of us. Amen. He just doesn't care about any of us. He's not concerned. Amen. He's more concerned that we don't make it to heaven than that we do make it to heaven. So tonight, we just want to bless the Lord. But let us go to 1 Peter. I just want to read one verse of scripture and actually two verses of scripture in 1 Peter chapter 3. Let's go to verses 20 and 21. The title ties in with our message tonight. There's a battle, and the battle is between the flesh and the spirit. There's a battle between the flesh and the spirit. And we know the whole in Proverbs, it couldn't be explained in everyday terms. The battle, yeah, he said, I feel like there's two dogs in me that are fighting. And the missionary asked the Indian, he said, well, which dog wins? He said, the dog that I feed the most. Well, we have two battles, two things fighting within us tonight. One is the flesh and one is the spirit. And the one that wins is the one that you what? Feed the most. Amen. So verse 20 reads, which sometimes were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was in preparing, when few, that is, a soul was saved by water. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away the filth of the flesh. This baptism doth put away the filth of the flesh, but is an answer of a what? Good conscience for God. So baptism does not wash away the filth of the flesh. It gives us a good conscience towards God. So every appetite that you had before you got saved is still in the flesh. Because God does not save the flesh, he saves the spirit. So if you don't stay strong in God, that spirit, those appetites, those lusts, those passions that you had before saved will raise up and they'll take you over. Amen. Because he doesn't put away the filth of the flesh. Those appetites are still there. And I remember I read the late Bishop G.T. Haywood said, our souls are like, well, I guess today we can compare it to a CD or a hard drive. Everything that we've ever experienced is on a hard drive. Everything we ever experienced is still on our soul. It's still there. Everything that we've ever gone through experience, and none of us have experienced the same thing. And if you're not careful, and if you don't keep under your body, it's walked in, that thing will resurrect itself. And it will manifest itself. Amen. It's just like a lot of times we put stuff on our hard drives and we think we wipe them clean. But those criminals that have gotten in trouble have found out what they thought was wiped clean, they have ways of bringing it back. Right? So they think they wipe the hard drive clean, but they have ways of getting that information back. Where our souls are like that hard drive. Amen. When we get saved, God cleanses it, but that stuff is still there. So if you don't stay spiritual, that stuff will raise itself up again. It will manifest itself. Amen. So we're going to go over our lesson tonight. battle between the what? Flesh and the spirit. Amen. They are contrary the one to the other. So as much as God is fighting and trying to help us, the devil and our flesh is trying to take us down. But before we go to this, can we go pull up 1 Corinthians chapter 14 for me, Sister Shire. We want to go to verses 2 and 4, 1 Corinthians chapter 14. It's our responsibility to make sure we keep our spirit man fed. Because if you don't feed your spirit man, your natural man will take over. Amen? If you don't feed, I don't care how long you've been in church, I don't care how much of the scriptures you know, if you don't feed your spirit man, your natural man will take over. So 1 Corinthians 14, 2 reads, "For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue," I'm talking about praying in the Holy Ghost, "he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto man, but what? Unto God. For no man understandeth him, how being in the spirit he speaketh mystery." Now go to verse 4. So when we pray in the Holy Ghost, amen, when you pray unto God, it says the fourth verse says, "He that speaketh in an unknown tongue does what? You build yourself up." So when you pray in the Holy Ghost, you build yourself up. Amen. It's important, yes, you can pray in English, you can pray in understanding, but it's so important to pray in the Holy Ghost, because when you pray in the Holy Ghost, that's the Spirit of God in you, praying to the Spirit of God above you and ordering your steps. Amen. So it's so important that we learn to pray. Let's go to, even though it's about order, let's go to the first, let's go to Romans 8:26. So when we pray in the Holy Ghost, we do what? Build ourselves up spiritually. We're feeding our spirit man because we're praying in the spirit. Amen? We're praying in the spirit, so we're feeding our spirit man. Now, Romans 8:26 says, "Likewise, the what?
Spirit.
The Spirit also helps our what? Infirmities, for we
know not what we should pray for."
And so we think we know when we pray in English. But when we pray in spirit, pray in the Spirit, we're praying about things that we think we're going to have. But the Spirit in us is praying to the Spirit of God above us to lead us. So that's why it's so important that we feed our spirit man. It says, "But we know not what to pray for as we are, but the
Spirit itself."
The Spirit itself making
intercessions
with groanings which cannot be uttered, and he that searches the heart knows what is the
mind
of the Spirit, because he making intercessions for the saints according. So when you pray in the Spirit, that's the Spirit of God making intercession for you according to his will. So when you pray like that, you're building up your spirit man. Amen. But when you don't pray, then that fleshly man will dominate. When you don't pray, that fleshly man will take over. Amen. When you see yourself doing things that are not godly, or uncharacteristic of a saint, then we have to ask your question, which man is winning, the spirit man or the flesh? Right? Because there's a battle. And we can determine who wins our battle. As we said on Sunday, all of you all know about boxing, right? There's a champion and then there's a contender. Right? There's a champion and there's a contender. And the question that we have to address ourselves tonight, in our body, who's the champion and who's the contender? Who's the champion? Who's the contender? Is the flesh the contender, or is the flesh the champion? Is the spirit the champion, or is the spirit the contender? If we want to make it to heaven, we better make sure the spirit is the champion. Right? Let the flesh fight all it wants, but never give it the crown. Amen. Because we want to please God. So let's go to our notes. Galatians chapter 5, start with the 13th verse. Who are we feeding the most? Amen. If you've been saved a couple of days, you've been saved too long to wind up lost. Amen. Because God has given us enlightenment. And Paul tells the Hebrew brethren, he says, it's impossible for those who have tasted of the good word of God It's impossible to turn away to renew again unto repentance. Amen. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good, and blessed is a man that trusted in him. So we got to taste and see. Well, how do you taste and see? By partaking of the Spirit. Amen. Galatians 5:13 reads, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not your liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by
love.
But by what? Love. Serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word. Even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one another." And who is he writing to? The saved or the unsaved?
Unsaved.
I mean, to the saved. Right? So the question is, when you begin to bite and devour and chew on one another, you're not walking in the Spirit. Amen. When we begin, and you want to put it plain English, when you become a backbiter and start talking about stuff, that ain't the Spirit. Amen. That's all flesh. And he said, when you get like that, you will not only will you hurt, but you will destroy one another. He said, "This I say then, walk in the
Spirit."
And really means walk by the Spirit. We can't just walk in the Spirit, but you got to be walk or be governed by the Spirit. Well, how can you be governed by the Spirit if you don't pray? Amen. How can the Spirit lead you if you don't pray? For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. If you don't pray, how can God lead you? If you don't take some quiet time with God and talk to God and let God talk back to you, how can God lead you? Amen. Go to Jeremiah 10:23. I know these ain't in the notes, so we just get these as we go. Go to Jeremiah 10:23. So we try a lot of times because we live for so long, we think we can direct our steps. But no matter how long you live, you can never compare to the infinite knowledge of God. Amen. So Jeremiah said, "Oh Lord, I know that the way of man is." Listen, you can't direct your steps. Because the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. I know the way of man is not in him. For it is not in man to do what? To direct his steps, right? So we can't do that. So if we can't direct our steps, who do we need for direction? Well, if you need the Lord for direction, and you don't pray and talk and spend some time with God and reading your word, how can God direct you? Because there's still a battle. Every day you wake up, there's a battle. When you go to bed at night, there's a battle. The devil never takes time off. Vinnie George sent me a cartoon strip one time. He said, "Full-time devil will defeat part-time Christians every time." About 4 or 5 years ago, full-time devils will defeat part-time Christians every time. We don't have time to take time off when it comes to being saved. Amen. None of us know when our time is up. But I want to be ready when he calls my name. So I can't allow my fleshly man to dominate. Amen. I can't think that I know the way to go. I have to ask God for direction. None of us ever arrive to the point where we know the direction to go. Even David, I believe in the 110th Psalm, he said, "Lord, teach me to do thy will." I beg after God's own heart. He said, "Lord, you still got to teach me." Because the way of man is what? Not in himself. I don't care how wise you are. I don't care how many degrees you have. I don't care what you've accomplished. I don't care how many people I say. The way of man is still not in himself. It's not in man that walketh to direct his ways. Amen. Let's go back to this. He said, verse 16, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not
fulfill the lusts of the flesh."
All right. So that's very simple. Either you're in the Spirit or you're in the flesh. If you be walked by the Spirit or be led by the Spirit, then you won't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Does that mean the flesh doesn't stop fighting? Absolutely not. The flesh will still keep fighting. But you will get the victory because he books in the 20th chapter, but how many of Jesus only had one book?
Amen.
Amen. Go to Jude the 21st. It's so important, you know, if we don't learn anything. The disciples, when they watched Jesus, they observed all that he did after he prayed. And then in Luke the 11th chapter, verse 1, he said, Lord, teach us how to pray. Right? Because they observed his life, so what he did. It said, but ye be love, building up yourself on your doing what?
Praying.
You build yourself up when you pray. When you don't pray, you get weak. Amen. And when you get weak, some stuff come out of you that ought not to come out. Because the flesh is still fighting. The flesh never takes a break. Amen. The flesh is still going to want to have its expression, to have its way. So the only way that you keep the flesh under subjection is you have to pray. You know, we open the church up Monday for prayer, Wednesday for prayer, Friday for prayer, and prayer meetings are the least attended services. And then people wonder, why am I struggling? Because you have to pray. And I know a lot of reasons, you have reasons that you can't get here this time, but I can't get here. But I still set my time aside to pray because I want God to lead me. A lot of us want to have what we call a microwave blessing. Microwave spirituality. I just want to put it off 2 seconds. You know, I can heal the food, right? You're supposed to take a couple of hours to heal the food. But you put it in the microwave, you'd be eating in 5 minutes. But what you don't realize, that microwave killed everything that had nutrition in it. Right? So your microwave prayer killed everything that could help you. You got to spend time with God. Jesus is our perfect example. Why did he have to pray all night long and he was God? Because there is a joy in prayer. There's a joy in communicating with God. There's a peace in prayer. There's a peace in communicating. He did that because he loved to speak to his Father. Prayer, we should want to pray. Amen. We should desire it. We should pray prayer. You know, Bishop said when he taught on prayer years ago, he said, prayer should be like a drug to the addict. He said, prayer should be like alcohol to the alcoholic. Right? You should be addicted. Whatever you have to do, nothing should stop you from praying. Amen. Because that's how we get our spirit man to rule. So it's a reference. It's hard enough to face the monster in us that wants to make everyone an addict to self-indulgence and self-fulfillment. Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, men will be lovers of pleasures more than they will be lovers of themselves. So self-fulfillment, right? Self-pleasure is the monster that tries to rule and reign. Well, how do you stop that from happening? You must pray. Amen. But it's all the more difficult when we realize that we have an enemy within us. Our own flesh wages war against us. Now the question is, what do we do? Our flesh is waging war. Listen, I'm just saying it's crazy. Sometimes, I'm only about 30 or 40 years old, but.
Jesus.
I'm serious, but this is how the mind works, right? I was going somewhere doing something, and something just as, I don't even know what the scenario, but it took me way back when I was a child. Right? Because that's how the mind works, because all this stuff is still in you, right? Way back when I was a child, I was like, wow, how did I go way back then? Child, like 5, 6, 7, 8, right? So no joke, being crazy. I'm not talking about the devil's child. I'm talking about the innocent child. Yeah, you're like, oh, no, I'm not talking about that. I'll tell you, but the right scenario, if you walk through the mall, you hear the right song in your mind goes, you're like, wait a minute, you better keep out of your mind. Right? You don't want it to take you back there. Amen. You have to keep out of your mind because the right scenario, right scene, the right thing will take you back. Right? So how do you not, and you can listen, you say, whoa, it's taking me back. No, don't relish that. You rock this up to sleep. Come out of that. Right? Because the devil is trying to take you somewhere. And you don't want to go there. Well, how do you do that? You have to keep out of your body. You got to pray. You got to stay spiritual. Amen. Like I said, last week when I got ready to speak in Georgia, it reminded me of a time, it just happened, and I never thought of it before, but when Pastor Dr. Lulu Jackson, one of those times I got squeezed into having to preach one of her revivals. And it just came back to my mind. I had to preach behind then Noel Jones. Right? So they said, yeah, Noel Jones took the church out last night. I'm like, yo, Dr. Jackson, I'm like, I really don't want to preach you. You know, but I think this is back in the 80s. I haven't only been seeing it a few years. You know, Noel Jones was mocking me. I said, Dr. Jackson, like, I really don't want to preach. Can you get somebody else? He said, you preach what God gave you. Right? She said, you preach what God gave you. Right? Because listen, I'm like, I don't want to be following behind him. But they came to me last week as I was in Georgia, because a lot of times we think it's us. It ain't us. It's God and what he does. And she told me, she said, son, you got a good ministry, just use it. Okay. After, she said, yeah, no one didn't have nothing on you. He has a popularity here today. Right? But what I'm saying is this. I haven't thought of that since the 80s. But I was in a scenario that presented itself, so it brought me back to the 80s. And this is 2018, so it took me back 30 years because of a similar scenario. And I'm just using that as an example, not to say anything about me, but I'm just saying the right scenario would take you places. Amen? So if you don't say spiritual, when it takes you places, you'll keep going. But if you're in the spirit, when they start taking you, you say, you didn't take me there. Right? Because we're not ignorant of his devices, that he should get the advantage. Verse 17 says, for the flesh lusteth, it's a battle. And the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. Right? Now he said, when it comes to the flesh has a plural. There are works. Works of the flesh. And he gives them all the works of the flesh. All right? But the fruit of the spirit. So when it comes to the flesh has multiple works. But when it comes to the spirit, it's just one thing, it's single. Right? So we have to stay in the spirit so we can just say single. Didn't the Bible say, if our eye be single, our whole body is full of light? Right? We have to stay single. We can't go in the plurality of the flesh. And you all read all that stuff about the flesh. But the one thing it does say, and people say, well, God understands, God will forgive me. God does understand. But said, but they which do these things cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So you can't appease your flesh. You can't give in to the wants and desires of your flesh and think you can make it to heaven. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, you can't do too much of this. It's one fruit. Amen. Just one fruit. But when it comes to the flesh, there are many works. Now, let's try to unravel one of the great paradoxes of Scripture by examining the Greek word carpos for fruit. John Samuel, who's a theologian and Bible scholar, points out that the only entity that does not benefit from the fruit of the tree is?
The tree itself.
The tree itself. So we got all the fruit in us. But the fruit is not designed to benefit us, but it's designed to benefit others. It is about love, but all of the law hangs on one thing, that we have love one for another. All food is produced for the benefit of another. Considering that compost means not only food, but also profit gain, the results of any action and the real measurement of judgment, it seems necessary to emphasize that in God's economy, my food is not supposed to be for my consumption. What God has blessed us with is not for our consumption, but for us to use it for others. We read in Galatians 5, read about what we're supposed to do. It says verse 14, for all the law is fulfilled in what?
One word.
One word. Even this thou shalt
love thy neighbor.
So all the fruit that God gave us is not to benefit us, but it's for us to benefit others. Amen? The fruit of the Spirit is designed to be useful and beneficial to someone else, not the person who possesses it. The proper exercise of the fruit of the Spirit is given to us by God for the blessing it has for others. Imagine how powerful the church would be if we operated this way. Imagine a place where I experience the presence of God because I operate as a channel of distribution. The fruit of the Spirit flows through me to the benefit of all. Amen. Now, we often mention these, and I just figured we'd break this down just a little bit, right, even if we don't get to the end. So, one of the, not fruits, how many is it?
One.
One fruit contains all of this. For our benefit. No, for the benefit of others. Right? Any of y'all, who ever had a fruit tree? Any of y'all ever had fruit trees? You ever seen a fruit tree eat his own fruit?
No.
Well, how do Christians always want to eat the fruit? That's not what God designed the fruit for. The tree don't supposed to eat the fruit. The tree has a fruit to produce for others. Alright? So one of the parts of the tree or the fruit is agape, a love, which is God's unconditional love, means to serve a person for their good and intrinsic value, not for what the person brings to you. Amen. That's what love is. Fear, opposite is fear, self-protection, and abusing people. Amen. Now, if you don't serve people out of love and you abuse them, is that the flesh or the spirit?
Flesh.
The flesh. Right. So we need to grade ourselves. How do we act? How do we respond? Amen. The next one is joy, which is chara. It means to delight in God and in his salvation for sheer beauty and the word of who God is. So I got joy not because of anything that happens around me, but I got joy because of who God is. That's because after David had failed God, he then said, a lot of people said, he said, restore to me the joy of my salvation. That is not what the scripture says. It says, restore to me the joy of my salvation. Right? Because the joy of God's salvation is not dependent upon external events. But the joy of God's salvation is just joy based on who God is. So after David had miserably failed God, and sometimes we mess up, but say, Lord, just give me my joy back. Because the scripture says, with joy that we draw water down to the wells of salvation. And the scripture says, God will give us joy that the world cannot give us. God will give us peace that the world cannot give us. So there's something about the joy that God gives us. The opposite of joy is hopelessness, despair, and plain misery. Right? If you're around a saint that's miserable, excuse yourself. Right? You know, we gotta make up some cards, right? We gotta make up some cards. Flesh spirit. Right? Flesh spirit. When somebody be acting up, flesh and duck. Right? But seriously, sometimes we need reminders. You're not acting like God. The fruit of the Spirit means God characteristics. Amen. God characteristics. God never did anything to hurt any of us. He came that we might have life and that we might have it out more abundantly. God never did anything to hurt us. God does everything to help us. So when somebody starts acting out of the flesh, it's not wrong to say, hey, you need to get back in the spirit. Right? Because we ought to be helpers one of another. Amen. So joy. So the counterfeit of joy is elation that comes with blessings, not the blesser. Mood swings based on circumstances. That's the opposite of joy. Mood swings. I know ladies have boots. You know, we ain't talking about that.
Men have.
We ain't talking about that kind of boots, please. very flesh. Then when I see us, praise the Lord. Flesh. Don't wake up. I just got it. Hey, we just saw the news. They said it's good to laugh. Oh, it is. All right. So understand, it's comical, but really, just think about how you are sometimes. Think about how we are sometimes. Amen. We can get to some serious moves. That's not joy. The next one is peace. I'm like, peace? How in the world can peace be Irene? That's what it says. Irene. That's what peace is. Irene, you are peace. In Hebrew. Alright. But that's what peace is. The definition is confidence and rest in the wisdom and sovereignty of God more than
your own.
Peace. Confidence and rest in the wisdom and sovereignty of God more than y'all. The tranquil state of a soul assured of the salvation through Christ. And so fearing nothing from God and content with his earthly lot of whatsoever sort that is. Amen. That's peace. The opposite of peace is anxiety and worry. Amen. He said, the scripture said, who can add one stature to the one cubit to the stature by worry? But if we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, God will add. You know, there's scriptures that are there. Why don't we use them when we really need them? Right? Because we can talk to God like that. The counterfeit of peace is indifference, apathy, not caring about something. I just don't care. That's the opposite of peace. The next one is patience. Amen. And patience is endurance, constancy. I was trying to learn this word, but macro feed me to me. And I was like, man, I just gotta make my own words. So me and my wife, we were trying to go over some words. I was like, I can't be saying it like they said. You know? So she's like, the word is that my top. The word is attack. That's my word, attack. I talk. Right? But I'm just saying, it's hard to see all these Hebrew words. I'm just saying the Hebrew. But anyway, endurance, constancy, steadfastness, perseverance, long suffering, slowness in avenging wrong. This is a fruit of the Spirit, all right? The ability to take trouble from others for life without blowing off to suffer joyfully. Proverbs say, he that has no rule over his own spirit is like a city without walls. Y'all read it. Read it one chapter a day. They just don't remember. It's in there. All right, don't get nosy. The opposite is resentment towards God and others. That's the opposite of patience. Resentment toward God and others. And the counterfeit is cynicism, self-righteousness. This is too small to be bothered about. Amen. You know, when people get back up in the corner and say, that thing's just too little, I don't have no time for that. That ain't God. Right. We should always be concerned. The next is kindness or goodness. All right, so goodness is kindness or goodness of heart. Practical kindness for vulnerability. We got it. The vulnerability out of deep inner security. All right, some of these words are just tongue twisters. Amen. And the opposite of that is envy. Unable to rejoice with others' joy. Right? Unable to rejoice with others' joy, that's the opposite of goodness. Then everybody's praising the Lord, having a good time, and you got to learn to be all, what you going to be all excited about? Flesh. Right? Flesh. So when you go through the day, sometimes stop saying, if I were to put up a card right there, is it flesh or is it spirit? Amen. And if you put up the flesh too much, you need to spend more time praying, right? Because our spirit man should always dominate over our flesh man. The next one, well, it says the counterfeit of this manipulative good deeds, right hand going with left, left hand is doing self-congratulations and self-righteousness. Right? Goodness and uprightness of heart. The next one is faithfulness. I don't know if you all can read the rest of it. Then gentleness. Alright. Then temperance or self-control. He said, against us there is what? No law. You can't do too much of this. But this is what you have to do to others. Right? This is the fruit of the Spirit. So if I'm gonna walk in the Spirit, the way I walk in the Spirit is how I treat others. A lot of times we think walking in the Spirit is what I'm doing for myself. While we're walking in the Spirit is how we treat others. Amen? And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. So if you're walking in the Spirit, you crucify the flesh. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ living in me. When I crucify the flesh, then I should see more of Christ and less of who? Less of me. Amen. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. In Galatians 3 said, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that ye should not obey? Amen. So when you get in the flesh, you just don't obey the truth. You establish your own righteousness. You establish your own right and wrong. Amen. The old saying is, you become a law unto yourself. You're no longer in the truth. Before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you. Amen. One thing Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 1, he said, and I, brethren, when I came preaching unto you, I did not come with the words of man's wisdom or in our spirit, but I came with the testimony of God in power. But verse 2, he said, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. He said, that's the only thing that was important, was that I knew Jesus Christ in him crucified. When you are crucified with Christ, you don't try to put yourself out there. You let Christ shine, amen? Another way of saying this verse is, you are disciplined Galatians. So when you don't crucify your flesh, you have no discipline, amen? So you want to read all this in between. This is just dealing with words of the flesh. I want to go to... let's skip, because my time is almost up. I want to get closer to the end. Can you all just read this other stuff in your spare time? All right. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 13. 6, 9 through 13. All right. It says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? So you can do all that you want. If it's not right, you cannot go to heaven. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor sorcerers shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are. Thank God for the baptism. Ye are washed. Ye are sanctified. You're justified in the Lord Jesus. How much planning can be that can you make it that you're gonna be baptized in Jesus' name, right? By the Spirit of our God. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. The most dangerous slavery is a slavery that convinces you that you are free. That's a dangerous spiritual slavery. You're enslaved, but you think you are free. Amen? Have you ever heard people say, I can stop this whenever I want to? There is a physical slavery as well as a spiritual slavery. Remember that Israel wanted to return back to the cruel bonds of slavery every time they were confronted with a hardship. Every time things got difficult, They wanted to go back to slavery. Amen. And the Lord told Moses, he said, I've heard the cry of my people. I've seen how the Egyptians treat them. But every time things go back, go wrong, they want to go back out into the world. That just is not God, right? You can read that in your spare time as well. Let's keep going, because I only got a few more minutes. I want to get to 1 Corinthians 9:24. Amen. Do you see that part? Now, you know, I said read it in between. I'm going to take everything that we ever go over, I'm going to have to reread it. You know, because I think it's so important. As God is guiding and leading us, we want to put things into practice that we hear. Amen. Don't say, oh, it sounded good, and let it go. That word that my head wet in my heart. So we need to start putting the application of God's word in our heart so we can live it. Amen. So Paul is writing to them, 1 Corinthians 9:24, he says, know ye not that they which run in a race run all but what? Only one receive the prize. So run that you may attain. And every man struggle for the mastery is temporary and you gotta have self-control and what? All things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we end. So you're temperate, that means you are disciplined. Amen. The Galatians were not disciplined. If you discipline your life, amen, if you train yourself to read the Bible, if you train yourself that there's times I'm going to be doing stuff, I said, wait, I'm doing this more than I pray and read my Bible, I will stop because I'm trying to discipline myself to be spiritually minded. But when you just allow stuff to run its course and you don't discipline yourself, Paul said, oh, foolish Galatians. Right? That's foolish because that means you're feeding your flesh man more than your spirit man. Amen? Also, Paul said, I therefore so run, not as unsturdily, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep, he said, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be. Now, when he said, I keep under my body, it's the Greek word, hypopezo. It is a fighting faith like Jacob when he wrestled with God. That's what it is. It's a fighting faith. Like Jacob when he wrestled with God. He loses, but he won't quit even in defeat. That's why his name became Israel. The word Paul used in the Greek is hypopezo. Yes, it does mean discipline, but it's a word from the boxing world. It is used by Diogenes, whoever he is, to describe a fight where one man gives the opponent a black eye. Hypopezo is a punch in the face. It's a graphic, powerful confrontational word that belies the idea of mental ascetism. Paul literally says that in order to follow the lead of Yeshua Jesus, he must pound himself into shape. He gives himself a black eye in order to stick with the Lord. He and Jacob go through the same discipline. That is, they have to use every ounce of energy to hold on to God in order to be worthy of his blessing. Discipline is not for the weak. It's not for those who aren't willing to be beaten up a bit. It's not for those who are out of shape, who think this life should be easy and God will take care of things. Amen. And we know the story when Jacob wrestled with the angel all night. Amen. And the angel of the Lord said, let me go, because the day is breaking. And Jacob said, I won't let you go until you bless me. So Paul said, when I keep under my body, Lord, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. That's discipline. Let's keep it under our bodies. Amen. And you all can read the in-betweens for yourself. But it's so important tonight. And it's only you can answer the question, who's winning the fight? Who's winning the fight? Is it the flesh or is it the spirit? If the flesh wins too long, you can't make it to heaven, because he said, such cannot inherit the kingdom of God. In order for you to get to the kingdom of God, you got to tell your flesh no. You got to exercise discipline. Amen. You got to set time aside to pray. You got to set time aside for scripture reading. You got to set time aside for devotion with God. Amen. Remember when Bishop was here? He said a lot of people say you got to make time. You all remember that when he talking about making time? He said you can't make time because it's only 24 hours in the day. So if you're going to make time, that means you're going to add on to a day. But we can't make time. So that means you have to set time aside. Amen. So the question is, if I want to be spiritually disciplined, what set time do I have to pray every day? Right? If I want to be spiritually disciplined, what set time do I have to read my Bible every day? I don't know about you, but I know if I don't set time aside, it'll be in the morning, next thing I know, it's 12 o'clock at night. Right? Time. You know, as kids, remember they say, what do you do with a clock? You go a clock out the window. Right? The mean time is flying. Y'all remember that? Yeah, watch time fly. Y'all remember that? Oh, y'all ain't that old. I ain't that old. I ain't only 20. But I'm just saying, time will fly. If you don't set time, if you don't discipline yourself, all you will do is continue to feed the flesh. The spirit will have no place. The only way you can have time for the spirit is you have to discipline yourself. You have to train up yourself in the way that you should go. Right? We train up a child. How about discipline? That training means to discipline ourselves. We spiritually have to discipline ourselves to be spiritual because it's easy to be fleshly and carnal. That's just happened by chance. But to be spiritual, you have to discipline yourself. You have to set that time aside. Even if the phone is ringing, turn it off. Amen. You have to be able to, listen, we should be in a 24-hour day. How many of us tithe time? You tithe time 24 hours a day. Right? So 24 hours a day, if you do 24 hours a day, 10 times, a 10 to 24 hours a day is like 2 hours and a half. So every day we should be able to want to tithe time because we want to spend that time with God. Right? Tithe that time. Spend some time with God. And then allow God to speak to you. Amen? And if you don't, trust me, if you don't, you'll have all kind of creative stuff that comes up in your mind. Because you're not giving it to the spirit, you're giving it to the flesh. Amen? And do we have any questions? Any questions? Beautiful. I have no questions. But the real question tonight that I want to ask you is, who's winning your fight? Honestly, who's winning the fight? Is it the spirit or is it the flesh? And one of the biggest examples that we use on Sunday of the flesh winning is when you're always taking things into your own hands instead of doing it God's way. Amen. When you start taking things into your hands, doing it your way as opposed to God's way, that's not the spirit, but that is the what? The flesh. And when you walk in the flesh, you cannot do the things that are pleasing to God. I didn't go, but you can read about it in the 8th chapter of Romans, verse 8. It says, if you walk in the flesh, if you walk in carnality, you cannot please God. Amen. So either we're going to walk in the spirit and please God, or we walk in the flesh and we won't please God. Amen. You say hallelujah, right?
Praise God.
Amen. So I just want to, and like I said, go over the notes. We're not trying to browbeat anyone, but this is time to be saved. And it's time for God to say, well done, thy good and how can you be faithful if you don't know anything to be faithful? How can you be faithful if you don't do anything to be faithful? Amen? How can God say, well done, my good and faithful servant, but you haven't done anything to show God you want to be faithful? The Bible says confidence in an unfaithful man in a time of trouble is like...
We got a joint. Broken tooth.
I got to go find it out. Like a broken tooth and a foot out of the joint. You ever have a broken tooth? Confidence in an unfaithful man in a time of trouble. I keep using Proverbs, so I'm trying to stir in your spirit. A broken tooth and a what? Foot out of the joint. What do you do when you have a broken tooth? And it's an earth. Yeah, I had a broken foot last week, the devil last week. But nobody know when I find it broke. I just walk slower. Even at the council, I said, gotta go slower. You hear all of them talk about, we get older, ain't moving like we used to move. I said, I still move, I just move slower. Amen. But you don't want to be in that place where you're broken, bleeding, and foot out of the joint. We want to do the things that are pleasing to God as we all stand. Amen. Pleasing God, that should be our number one thing. So the question is, the flesh is fighting the spirit. The spirit is fighting the flesh. There's a confrontation. But who's winning? There's a confrontation. Who is winning? Now this confrontation, one is trying to rule over the other. But tonight, who is winning? Amen. We pray that it is the spirit. And if it's not, the good thing about God, God gives us a chance every day to correct the things that we haven't done. We need to become more godly minded. Amen?
Amen.
Do we have any